very special welcome to our very first time guests. It's great to have you here. Please stand as you're able as we continue with our service.
Oh,
love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's pray. Direct us, O Lord God, in all of our doings with your continual help.
That in all of our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
I don't see any little kids, but let me give you a Reader's Digest version of children's time, because I was hoping that we'd have kids here to be able to show this off anyway. But how many of you guys have ever trapped monkeys? That's what I was thinking. Have you ever set up a monkey trap? Just in case this might come in handy. But so anyway, if you ever have a problem with monkeys in your house or around or whatever, the way to trap a monkey is, and you can Google this, put monkey trap and they'll show up. But what you do is you get a jar, and you get a jar that's just the right diameter, and then you would put that on a plate and pound it down to the ground or have it heavy enough where the monkey just can't drag it away or whatever. And then what you do is you get something, either food or even better yet, something really cool to a monkey. And it's, ooh, you know. And then what you do is you put it in there and then you just set it out overnight. And what happens is the monkey comes around and it says, oh, that is like so cool. And it puts its hand in there and grabs it. My hand is too big. But it puts the hand in there and it grabs hold of it. And the thing is with a monkey is that it wants this so bad it will not let go. Even if a person is coming up to them with a net, it will just keep hanging on. It says, I want this thing no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. And the problem is that is not worth your freedom. And so in a little while, we'll be talking in the sermon about what are things costing and what we do for them as well. So remember, you need to catch monkey. We'll continue with our anthem.
To leave it all behind and join. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
The musicians are a hard act to follow. Our first reading today is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Hear now the word. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall certainly perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is Psalm number 1. It's found on page 5 of your bulletin. Please read it with me. I'll read the plain text, and you'll please read the bullet text. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away.
Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed.
Our second reading today is almost an entire book of the Bible. Make yourselves comfortable. This is Paul's letter to Philemon and Apphia. Hear now the word. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to our beloved co-worker Philemon, to our sister Apphia, to our fellow soldier Archippus, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I mention you in my prayers, because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the partnership of your faith may become effective as you comprehend all the good that we share in Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am more than bold enough in Christ to command you to do the right thing, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might minister to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back for the long term, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about you owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Traveling with Jesus, and he turned and he said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whosoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all will see it and will begin to ridicule him and say, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can be my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of each and every person with us this morning. Lord, be with all of us now as we turn our hearts and our minds toward your word. Guide us by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like you to use your imagination, and your name is now Philemon, and so odd name, but that's your name, and you're pretty well off, and you're really well respected in your church here. People look up to you and say, "Wow," and you even have slaves. In fact, one of them had owed you a lot of money, and finally kind of sold himself into slavery, and so he pledged to serve you for 7 years. And this slave has this weird name, Onesimus, which means useful. Bizarre name, but that's his name, useful. And this guy is no help to you at all because he ran off. He ran off. He ran away from your service, did not fulfill his debt to you, and you are ticked off. You are so upset. And by rights, in law, you couldn't even have this person put to death because he ran away and did not fulfill his service to you because of that debt. So imagine everyone's excited about atonement. Lutheran, go to church on Sunday because there's another letter from Paul. There's a letter from Paul, and Paul is the big head honcho. He's the presiding bishop of the whole Christian church back in that day and age. And so everyone shows up to church, and they're going to hear this letter from Paul. And it says, "Paul, the presiding bishop, and also another bishop, Timothy, to you, Philemon, and also to your sister, and to the church council president, and to your presiding pastor, and everybody, and the whole congregation of Atonement Lutheran, I bring you greetings." And then it goes, says, "I know about your love for the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. And he says, but there's this little issue, because one of my buddies is called Onesimus, and I happened to meet him, and he's a person of faith, and even though he's a slave, he's helping me out now, and he's been serving me and taking care of me, and I guess he kind of technically is still owned by you. And it says, though I'm bold enough in Christ to command you, I would rather appeal to you. I do this as an old man and a prisoner. Formerly, this slave was useless to you, but now he is useful to both you and me. And I am sending him my own heart back to you. Is this feeling a little uncomfortable in front of all your peers? And he says, and I want you to be able to have him back forever, not as a slave anymore, but as a beloved son and a brother. Welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you and owes you anything else, just I'll take care of it, like Paul could take care of it. And so, I don't want to compel you. I don't want to force you to do the right thing. But I say nothing about you owing me even your own life. Oh, did that come out in my outside voice? Oops. And I am confident of your obedience, knowing that you will do even more than what I say. Wow, what a Sunday morning, right? Yeah. Talking about being put in the hot seat, you know? I mean, what do you think he did? What do you think the only thing he could do was to let Onesimus no longer be a slave and give him his freedom? You know, someone said that salvation is free. Discipleship can cost everything. And God gives us this incredible gift, and yet he also gives us a calling that sometimes puts us in uncomfortable spots and sometimes calls us to give of our hearts, of our possessions, and even some of our beloved people. Jesus says some really uncomfortable things. I mean, in fact, it was hard to say at the end of that, the gospel of the Lord. You know, it says that if you don't hate your father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, even life itself, if you don't carry the cross, if you want to follow me, you have to give up all your possessions. What he's saying in the Greek is that it has to be clear that God comes first, that our pledge and our allegiance goes to God first, then everybody else is second in that. And hate doesn't mean that we despise everybody around it. It's just that I love you, but God is first. In fact, in that very last part, none of you can be my disciple unless you give up your possessions. It says, unless you can say goodbye to them. That you have the ability to be able to say goodbye to those things that might interfere a relationship with Christ. To be a follower of Jesus is costly. Philemon just gave up a slave. I mean, scripture you could have had is this one from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You've heard this before about Paul's difficulties and trials and tribulations he went through. I mean, here's Paul, beloved of God, and he says, 5 times I've received from the Jews 40 lashes, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I received a stoning, 3 times I was shipwrecked, frequent journeys, danger of rivers, bandits, wilderness, danger at sea, false brothers and sisters, thirsty without food, cold and naked, and besides all of this, I'm under daily pressure because of my anxiety of the churches. But that doesn't happen anymore, but no, that was Paul. That was Paul, the difficulties that he went through, and he went through them because, again, he was not just a receiver of salvation. He was a disciple of Jesus. There's a pastor, Victoria Safford. She was in a cemetery once in old New England, and she found a tombstone that had been kind of weathered a little bit, but at the bottom she could read the epitaph, the little saying, and this is what it said. It said, she attended well and faithfully to a few worthy things. She thought, that's interesting. It's kind of a Lutheran way of explaining something, you know? But then she got thinking about it, and she said, every day I stand in danger of being struck by lightning and having my obituary in the local paper say, She attended frantically and ineffectually to a great many unimportant, meaningless details. And then she says, how would you like your epitaph to read? She answered all of her calls, all her email, all her voicemail, but along the way she forgot to answer the call to service and compassion and forgiveness, first and foremost, to herself. Or he gave and forgave sparingly, without radical intention, without passion or conviction. Or she could not or would not hear the calling of her own heart. Audrey de Grey said, don't cling to a mistake just because you spent a lot of time making it. Okay, a lot of us wind up clinging to the wrong thing. And we have monkey traps in our lives. Those little baubles, those things, whatever, that we just grab onto, and we don't care what the cost is, we will not let go. And it is a foolish mistake. A foolish mistake. The gospel, the good news that Deuteronomy comes along and gives us this gift of life. It says it's not going to be easy. In fact, nothing that is good is easy, but it says it's going to be worthwhile. It says, choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. Holding fast to him instead of all the other things, for this means life to you and length of days. God invites us to be able to hold fast to Christ, no matter what. There was a person, Wormer von Braun, you've heard his name before, the space program and all, and he was in charge of the space program in the Marshall Space Flight Center. And he had other people that would respond to correspondence. And one time he had someone that said, I really want to be an astronaut. What's it like? And the person responded, and it said, he wrote a cautious and formal reply, pointing out all the risks, the uncertainties of this new field, suggesting that the student should consider all alternatives. And von Braun looked at that, and he put a line through it, and he said this, come with us, we're going to the moon. To be honest, the Christian faith is not always easy. It does not protect us from difficult times. It does not protect us from difficult callings. But it gives us this incredible gift that the love of God through the power of the Holy Spirit is indwelling within ourselves and can be a blessing to the world. Better than going to the moon. And the thing is, we've already signed up for it. In our baptism, we were signed up for it. We really don't even have a choice. Our parents or our loved ones or our spouses or we ourselves already got that journey started. Some of you have heard of Will Willman. He was a bishop in the Methodist Church. He's also the chaplain at Duke University. This happened to him. This is a wonderful story. It says a parent came up at graduation and was so upset. And he came up to Pastor Will and he said, I hold you personally responsible for all of this. And Will said, me? What's going on? The father was hot, upset, because his graduate school-bound daughter had just informed him that she was going to chuck it all, throw it all away, and was on her way to mission work with the Presbyterians in Haiti. Isn't that absurd, shouted the father. A BS degree in mechanical engineering, and she's going to dig ditches in Haiti. Pastor Will said, well, I doubt if she's received much training in the engineering department for that kind of work, but I'm sure she's a fast learner and will probably get the hang of ditch digging in just a few months. Look, said the father, this is no laughing matter. You are completely irresponsible and have encouraged her to do this. I hold you personally responsible. As the conversation went on, Dr. Willeman pointed out, and the well-meaning but obviously unprepared parents were the ones that had started this ball rolling. He said, you were the ones who had her baptized. You read Bible stories to her. You took her to Sunday school. You let her go with the Presbyterian youth group to Baal. Will said, you're the one who started her and introduced her to Jesus, not me. The father meekly replied, but all we ever wanted her to be was just a Presbyterian. onto today? What are you grabbing onto today? God gives us this gift. He gives us this promise of life. He frees us, free gift, blessing, all of that. And yet gives us this high calling to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus. You know, sometimes people wonder, well, what's the rest of the story with Philemon and Onesimus? No one knows for sure, but tradition has it that 45 years later, they found a letter written by Ignatius just before he was martyred. It's in the same form, real interesting, just like the letter of Philemon. But it was written to the bishop of Ephesus. It had a weird name, Onesimus. Let's pray. Lord, be with us as we pray before you silently. Lord God, we thank you so much for hearing us. We thank you for speaking to us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Gracious God, we come to you in prayer for the church, the world, and all in need. We pray for the church to follow in your ways, that it may be a witness to your love for all people. Help us choose all that is life-giving and confront the forces of death. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray for creation that it may be cherished and nourished. Sustain farmlands, animals, and waters. Restore places affected by calamities. And shield coastlands from rising seas. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We pray for those in authority. Grant them wisdom to govern justly and compassion to care for the marginalized. Equip them for actions that further the common good. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We pray for those who are sick, hungry, unhoused, or lonely. Pray especially for Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Dan, Paul, Dean, Mike, Kenneth, Tracy, Emma, Catalea Neve, and her parents and grandparents, Michelle, Eric. Pray for immigrants and refugees that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. May they find healing through your love and the care of those around them. Lead us to be your hands and feet in the world, God of grace.
Receive our prayer.
We pray for this congregation that we may be united in love and faith. Refresh our hearts in Christ and deepen our support of one another. We pray that our sharing of faith may transform lives. God of grace.
Receive our prayer.
We thank you for those who have died and now dwell with the saints. Surround them with your divine mercy that they may find peace and rest in your loving embrace. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We entrust these prayers to you, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and friend.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please stand as you're able and share a sign of that peace with those around you. If you'd like to gather back together and remain standing, we'll continue with our service with Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful.
Fruitful.
to set our hope not on the uncertainty of riches, but on you, who richly provides for us. Please multiply what we have gathered to bless all who are suffering and in need, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy,
whom you sent it in this, the end of ages, to save and redeem us and proclaim us to your will. He is your word, inseparable from you, through whom you created all things and in whom you take delight. He is your word, sent from heaven to a virgin's womb. He there took on our nature and our life and was shown forth as your son, born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He, our Lord Jesus, fulfilled all your will, and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hands in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust in you. He is the one who handed over to death he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve you as your priestly people. Please send your Spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine, and fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith and truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let's say the prayer that our Lord taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen. Here we have open communion, so you don't have to be a member of this church, of the Lutheran Church. We invite all to take part And if you'd like just a blessing, just cross your hand, and the ushers will guide you forward. Please be seated.
Thank you.
God, through this meal you have strengthened us and appointed us to be your servants. Please send us to do good and to share our possessions with all in need. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Just a couple of announcements. One is please read all the words of the week and the Waves newsletter and all of that. And then also I wanted to thank you. I don't know how many of you realize why Pastor John isn't here today, but he's off to a retreat serving as a person on the Synod Council, which he doesn't talk about a lot, but it's actually a real privilege to be asked to be on the council and then voted on that as well. And I want to thank us as a congregation in his support of that, too. He is going to be a wonderful gift to the council, and it's also an amazing gift for the congregation to know all what's going on and kind of have the first fruits and the dibs on what's going around as well. So thanks. It's really a wise thing on your part and on his as well. So thanks again for your support and your work, not only just here in the congregation, but in the Synod and in the world as well. Yes, Darcy.
I'd like to welcome all of you, women especially, but WELCA is starting our fall schedule on Wednesday, and we've moved the time a little bit. We're going to start at 12:45, which will allow more time for people who are doing the contemplative prayer at noon to do that, and WELCA both. But I encourage you to come. We have some snacks. We have a Bible study and a lot of conversation, so 12:45 Wednesday. And if you need help with write or anything, let me or someone in the church office know. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other announcements? If not, we'll continue on with our blessing. The God of righteousness, who gives justice to the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, who sets the prisoners free, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Let's sing our sending hymn.